The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would treat a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord. My Irish great-grandmother used to say, "In marriage, dear, you gotta be a little bit deaf and a little bit dumb." Wise words. She was a wise old lady. A little bit deaf and a little bit dumb. And it was her way of saying that in any healthy relationship, there are many faults you'd be very wise simply to overlook. However, I think you'll agree that in any healthy relationship, there are many faults you cannot overlook. They require correction. You have to speak up, and it can be very, very hard to do. Maybe somebody's health or safety or well-being hangs in the balance, maybe somebody's reputation or good name. First reading says, if you don't speak up, you're complicit in the wrongdoing. It's your duty to speak up. Second reading says that if you speak up, it's an act of love. Still, very, very hard to do. It takes no small measure of humility to correct somebody. Because as you know, most people take correction very badly. And they always attack the messenger, don't they? And so people agonize over, what do I say? How do I say it? When do I say it? What are the right words that I say? And today, here in the gospel, Jesus gives us the best advice anyone could possibly give about the very difficult task of correcting somebody else when it's necessary in three simple steps. Number one, you take it to the person themselves. Number two, you take it to a larger group. Number three, mysteriously, you take it to the whole church. Quick look at each one of those three. But before we do that, step number one is always to ask yourself the question, do I need to correct someone else on this at all? Always start there. Like they say, don't sweat the small stuff in life, and most of life is small stuff. You don't want to be one of these people who ambles about life like you're wielding a sledgehammer, correcting everything. Everybody takes you as being a pariah. They start to treat you like they treat the boy who cried wolf. You make everybody miserable, and worst of all, you make yourself miserable. Always stop and ask this question first. Do I really need to speak out about this? Okay. If the answer is yes, then step number one that Jesus gives us is to speak to the person themselves. Not the bishop, not the boss, not the pastor, not the principal, not the papal nuncio, right? Speak to the person themselves, but always speak out. Don't think you're going to sweep it under the rug. Do not try to live a fool's peace. Hard as it is to have to correct somebody else's behavior, it's far worse to live in a fool's peace and to say nothing. You say, well, how? Answer, in as few words as you possibly can. As simply, as honestly, as directly, and as lovingly as you possibly can. People often wonder, you know, what are the right words to use? What if I say the wrong thing? What if it doesn't work out? Listen, success and failure are God's categories, not our own. There are many, many times in which things which appear to be an abysmal failure turn out a few months later to be a perfect success. A lot of times things which appear to be a failure right up front turn out later to be a great success. Perfect example of this is the crucifixion, isn't it? My brother told me a story of an employee at his church that he had to fire. And there's nothing worse than a priest having to fire an employee. And he just agonized over how to do it. You know, but this guy was taking four-hour lunch breaks, and he wasn't doing his job. So he finally fired the guy. And, of course, he was furious. All kinds of choice four-letter words. But you know what? Came back 6 months later and thanked my big brother, and he said my life was out of control, and being fired from my job was the kick in the pants that I needed to start getting things right. Thank you. So you never know how things are going to work out. If you care about someone, they will be able to tell. That's all we need to remember. With perhaps one little caveat to that. If you can avoid saying the word I when you correct somebody else's behavior, the conversation goes a lot better. Because when you stand there and say, I, the other person, very often rightly, walks away thinking that it's all about yourself. Things go much, much better if we can find a way to simply rephrase it and not use the word I. Okay. If that fails, now you take it to the larger group. Now you take it to the pastor. Now you take it to the principal. Now you take it to the bishop. And when you do, be sure you've always paid the first step. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and they've said, I've got a problem with this or that person. And I've always asked them, did you talk to the person themselves? And when they say no, I always say, well, that's step number one, right? And then we'll talk later. Another thing to remember is that if people are saying things about you, maybe people say you're lazy, maybe people say, you know, you overreact, maybe people say you've got a short fuse, whatever it might be. Very rarely does everyone say the exact same thing about you and are all wrong. Something to keep in mind. Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said, if he says it and she says it and they say it, you better own it. And when that fails, now Jesus says something very mysterious. He says, take it to the church. And in this sense, we have to remember that Jesus is speaking to his apostles in a way that's different from how he's speaking to you and to me. Right? And he's, like he says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Those are words for church management. And I'm not in management. I'm in sales. Right? And so are you. But he says, treat them like a Gentile or a tax collector. Gentiles and tax collectors were kicked out of the temple. You know what Jesus is establishing right here? You've heard it in the news. It's a little thing we know as excommunication. Greatly misunderstood. People think excommunication is the church being mean, or excommunication is the church telling you that you're definitely going to hell. It doesn't mean any of those things. Excommunication is a very severe mercy by which the church tells us you've got to change your path because the path you're on is not leading in the right direction. And if it continue on this path, it's not going to lead in your salvation. This church's most stern warning. And if you ever want to know where did it come from, you just heard it here in this gospel. But, you know, there's another degree to which our Lord is speaking to us in those words when he says, treat them like you treat a Gentile or a tax collector. Because how did Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? He ate and drank with them. He spoke with them. He spent time with them. He taught them. He didn't just abandon them and cut off all conflict, cut off all contact. It's very, very important to remember that when all else fails, much can be accomplished by basic kindness and persevering prayer. But it's a question that we want to ask ourselves in a searching fashion when we hear these words from Christ our Lord. When things go wrong for you, maybe all the traffic lights turn red, maybe your flight is canceled, maybe you get into a conflict with somebody that you know. When things go wrong for you, do you react or do you respond? By respond, I mean that you are emotionally in control. You act in a reasonable, measured, and deliberate fashion. But by react, I mean to say that you are not emotionally in control. You're unhinged, and you usually walk away saying something that you regret. Most people react. It's fine for infants. It's not fine for adults. They sulk. They become passive-aggressive. They gossip. Any number of things. Today, our Lord calls us not to react, but to respond, because your relationships in life are the most precious and most painful things in your entire life. And sometimes they have conflict. A lot of people, especially people who pray and go to church, feel guilty when they have conflict with somebody in a relationship. I want to set your mind at ease. Remember, somebody once told you, to be in conflict with another person is not the same as being un-Christ-like. Jesus himself lived most of his life in conflict with lots of people. And Christianity does not reduce to just being nice. Because nice comes from the Latin word nescire, which literally means to be stupid. It means I don't know anything. Mindlessly smiling at everything, whether it's good or bad. Christ our Lord was not nice. I'll tell you, one of these days I'm going to give a homily just on that. Ways in which Jesus was not nice. He called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. It wasn't nice, but it was perfectly loving. Our love must be the same. If your love isn't tough, then your love isn't real. Show me somebody who's always getting along with everybody, never causes a conflict, and I will show you someone who loves no one in this world more than themselves. Everybody in your life is there for a reason. There are no accidents. And the more they're in your life, the more a role they have to play. Some people are in your life for consolation, and we all need that. But some people are in your life to purify you. These people are the pipe cleaners of the soul. And if you are good to them, if you are charitable with difficult people, if you love your enemies, if you let your rain fall on the just and the unjust alike, then you are a true son or daughter of your heavenly Father. And when this life has run its course, you are worthy of the kingdom of heaven. And our Lord wants to bring you there. That's why these people are in your life. Pope John the 23rd once famously said, "Observe everything. Overlook much, correct a little." Correct a little. And when we must, let's do it God's way and not ours. That's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.